Hello, my name is Marcy Stern. Welcome to Torati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we will be studying Zecharia Perek Bet, Chapter 2. In the last year, we were introduced to Zecharia HaNavi, a contemporary of Haggai, and to the Malach HaDoverbi, the angel who helps Zecharia interpret his very cryptic visions. Just as Haggai had encouraged a dejected nation to rebuild the Second Temple by emphasizing the potential of the Second Mikdash to be bigger and better than the first, by prophesizing the fall of their enemies, and by predicting the greater stature of their political leaders through Bavel, so too Zecharia in Chapter 1 implored the nation to return to Hashem so that Yerushalayim will be restored to its former glory and the Shechina will return completely to the Second Temple. Perek Bet, Chapter 2, begins immediately with two visions, each replete with unusual details and each necessitating the help of Hamalach HaDoverbi, Zecharia's aid. Thankfully, these Mar'ot are not as difficult to decipher as the vision in Chapter 1. Let us begin with Pasuk Aleph, Verse 1. Ve'esa et einai ve'ereh v'hine arba kranot. I lifted my eyes, says Zecharia, and I see four horns. Va'omar el hamalach hadoverbi. And Zecharia says, I said to the malach hadoverbi, ma'ela, what are these? Va'yomer elai, and the malach hadoverbi answers, ela hakranot asher zeru et Yehuda et Yisrael v'Yushalayim. These are the horns that spread Judah, Yisrael, and Yerushalayim. Who are the Kranot? What are they? We sense they've done something bad to the Jews, but what? Let us continue. Pasuk Gimel, Verse 3. Vayareni Hashem arba'a harashim. And Hashem showed me four artisans, four carpenters. Pasuk Dalet, Verse 4. Va'omar ma'ela ba'im la'asot. And I said, what are these coming to do? Vayomer, the Malach says, Ela hakranot asher zeru et Yehuda, kafi ish lo nasa rosho. These are the horns that spread out Yehuda to the point that they could not lift their heads. They were subservient. They were a cause for being embarrassed. Vayavo Ela, and then he continues, these the carpenters are coming, liyadot et karnot ha-goyim, to cut down these horns of the goyim, hanosin keren al eretz Yehuda lezarota, that brought their horns in order to spread the Jewish people. Let's see what we can make of this vision. A keren is literally a horn. We know that animals use their horns to attack others. In fact, that is why in the days of yore, enemy attackers of towns and their fortifications would use what is called a battering ram to force their way into the fortifications. Soldiers would take long wooden or metal poles and smash them into the gates of the walled cities. So who are these Kranot? Rashi says, we are speaking about the Babylonians. Why four horns? Because the Babylonians came from all the four directions to attack the Jewish people and send them into exile. But there is hope, Zecharia says. It is shown in the four carpenters, whose mission it is to cut down the four horns, to remove their ability to attack and maim. Zecharia is encouraging the nation to carry on, heed the words of the prophets, so that the great potential of the Second Temple can become a reality, and without any fear of any outside forces or any interference by the Goyim, such as that happened when they had come some 16 years before and were stopped by the enemies when they tried to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, because these enemies went and spoke Lashon Hara about them to the authorities, and the authorities rescinded the permission. Radak in his commentary addresses this vision from a broader historical vantage point. The Dalet Kranot, the four horns, represent the four Malchiot, the four great empires who dominated the Jewish people: Babylonia, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Rome, whose exile we are still in today. The four Harashim carpenters represent each subsequent empire who overthrows the previous empire. Persia conquered Babylonia. Greece conquered the Persians, etc. The final carpenter is Mashiach, who destroys them all. The promise, retribution for all our enemies. At the time of Mashiach, it will come. Radak adds, there will be four carpenters that will assure our success then. Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, Eliyahu Hanavi, and Kohen Tzedek. What a beautiful, beautiful example of Nevuah Shehutzracha Ledorot, a prophecy for all times and a prophecy for us as well. In Pasuk Hey, verse 5, begins a new vision that deals with a different type of encouragement for the people, one that we touched upon in Zechariah Perek Aleph, chapter 1. Verse 5, Pasuk Hey, Ve'esa enai, I lifted my eyes, ve'ere and I saw, v'hine ish of yado chevo midah, and there was a man, and in his hands was a measuring stick. Ve'omar, and I said, Anata aleich, where are you going? Vayomar elai, and he answered me, Lamod et Yerushalayim, lirot kama rochba v'kama orka. I am going to measure Jerusalem to see how wide she is and how long she is. Pasuk Zion, V'hine malach hadoberi yotze, and the malach who aided Zechariah is going, U'malach achir yotze likroto, and another malach comes towards the malach hadoberi. Pasuk Chet, V'yomer elav, and this new malach says to the malach hadoberi, he says to the one who aids Zechariah, Roots, hurry, run! Daber el hanar halaz, go tell this lad, go talk to Zechariah, Lamor, and say to him, Prazot teshev Yerushalayim merov adam ubehema betocha. Yerushalayim will be a city with no walls because there will be so many men and animals in its midst. Hurry, lest Zechariah misunderstand this vision, go tell him. We do not want him to think that measuring Yerushalayim means the city will be limited. Tell him no. There will be so many people in its outskirts that there can be no wall. And lest not having a wall frightens the nation, the Navi is quick to add in Pasuk 9, Pasuk 10, Va'ani eheye lanu Hashem chomat eish saviv. Hashem says, I will be a wall of fire around Yerushalayim to protect them. Ulachavod eheyeh betocha, and for honor I will be in the midst of Jerusalem. Rashi adds, Gam betocha tishchon shchinati, in the midst of Jerusalem I will rest my presence, lichvodchem, for your honor. All I am doing is for the honor of the Jewish people. We worry about Kavod Hashem. Hashem worries about our honor. I remember being in Yerushalayim, I think it was the first time, when I was still very young. I vividly remember visiting Givat HaTachmoshet at Meneshin Hill, the place that an integral and devastating battle took place that opened up the path for the Israeli soldiers to enter the old city and capture Jerusalem. Across the street on Eshkol Boulevard, my friend and I stopped at sunset to absorb what we had seen. We looked out at the untouched land ahead of us into the most beautiful, gorgeous sunset. That scene is etched in my memory. The next year, when I returned, I dragged a friend to that same spot to share the magnificent view. But behold, the scenery had totally changed. Ramat Eshkol had been built. Today, neighborhood after neighborhood has expanded way beyond Ramat Eshkol for miles and miles. Has not this prophecy begun to take hold? Are we not getting a taste of what will be in the days of Mashiach? Zechariah then turns to the people and calls out in Pasuk Yud, verse 10. Hoi, hoi, venusu me eretz tzafon. Hurry, hurry, run from the lands of the north, from Babylonia. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Hoi, Tzion himalti. Hurry, Tzion, run, escape. All the Jews who remained in Bavel and did not come up during Shivat Zion are being addressed and being urged to come to Jerusalem. Why? Because, he says in the following pasuk, ki hanogea b'chem nagea b'vavat eino. Whoever touches you touches the center of his eye. Whose eye? What's the point of the pasuk? One way of looking at it is, we're talking about the center of the eye of the enemy. Whoever hurts you, B'nai Yisrael, will be hurting themselves, for Hashem will punish all who harm us. Hanogea b'chem, he who touches you, is touching his own eye and will be punished. A message so comforting for those who are coming up from Bavel. The nation are causing their own downfall. Or, even more poignantly, whose eye is being touched? The eye of Hashem. Anyone who harms the Jewish people, it is like touching the eye of Hashem. Yisrael v'kutcha brichu chadhu. The Jewish people and the Holy One, blessed be He, are one. Hashem and the Jewish people are one unit. If somebody hurts us, it's as if he touches the eye of Hashem. Instinctively, a person beats back someone who gets too close to his eye. So too will Hashem lash out at our enemies. We are one. The parak draws to a close with some of the most beautiful words of nechama and consolation that are extraordinarily famous. These are the first words of the Haftorah for Shabbos Chanukah. Pasuk Yadalad, verse 14. Rani v'simchi bat Zion, ki hina ni ba b'shachanti b'sochech. Be happy and be joyous, the daughter of Zion, because I am coming and I am going to live in your midst. No longer will they be dejected, no longer should they worry. Pasuk Tedvav, the 15th verse. V'nachal Hashem et Yehuda chelko al admat ha-kodesh. And Hashem will apportion his land for Yehuda on the holy land. Uvachar od b'Yerushalayim. And Hashem will again choose Jerusalem. No more empires. No more foreign influence on the land. We are autocratic and independent under the rule of Hashem. And then the astounding conclusion, Has kol basar mipnei Hashem. Let all the umos, let all the nations be silent. Ki ne'or mima'on katsho. Because Hashem has awoken from his holy habitat from above. All the goyim will be silent. There is nothing for them to say any longer. Hashem will awaken from his kisei hakavod, from his holy throne above, and he will descend to take retribution upon them. What magnificent words, what incredible potential for the people then and now for us. Thank you for learning together. Le'iloi nishmat Malka Esther bat Tzvi Yosef.